Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle.
And welcome to the 468th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with my spectacular co-host. We've got, actually, there's no order here. We've got the magnificent, as always, Seth Vilo.
Aw, thank you.
And we've got the magnificent, as sometimes, Linian.
That's not incorrect.
F.
Yeah, there we go. Put F's in the chat, fam. welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the People's Union of Civil Liberties. I mean, the Pokemon Underground Champions League. A nonsensical name we came up with in 2007.
And a Twitter handle we will hold on until we die.
Yes. We talk everything Pokemon here, from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between.
The cereal at Walmart.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, we got it. So for those of you at home, there is another Puckle that is older than us in spirit, called the People's Union of Civil Liberties. It's like a group in India for civil rights. I don't know if it's actually like a good group or not.
We haven't have not done near the amount of investigation you would hope we have.
People keep tagging us, asking us questions that don't apply to a Pokemon podcast.
We keep getting tagged in groups of people now. Because like the problem is, you have like these these activists that aren't good at being activists, and what they do is they just type in at Puckle because they're thinking of the People's Union of Civil Liberties, and they just click every tag that's underneath there on Twitter, and of course we pop up at Puckle Podcast, and so they tweet at us, and so this has been going on for years. This isn't a new phenomenon, but what is new is I've decided to start responding to them.
Sir, this is a Wendy's.
exactly. I'm just like, well, like they had one with like a picture of like 10 people. I have no idea who they are. And that, like, we got tagged in it, and I'm just like, which one of them is the Pokemon podcaster? and the guy responded.
Oh God.
The guy responded to me, Puckle stands for the People's Union of Civil Liberty. You should change your name. And then I looked at when we created our handle on Twitter and when Puckle created its handle on Twitter. And we did it first, like 4 years earlier. We've had a Twitter handle since 2009. We've had our Twitter handle, and the People's Union of Civil Liberties
needs to catch up.
They made theirs in 2013. So at Puckle is apparently taken, but it wasn't taken at the time that we took at Puckle Podcast, which confuses me. I don't know what past me was doing. It would have been nice just to have at Puckle, but it's taken, and it has zero tweets on the account.
Oof.
Yeah, big oof. F's in the chat for that one. But yeah, that's the fun giggle story that happened this past couple of weeks. I almost accidentally got into a Twitter fight with some Indian author about justice.
Oh no.
I was just making a joke, like, hey, maybe just like look at the things you tag before you tag them. You know, that's all I'm asking.
Uh-huh. Oh well. Here we are.
But apparently we should change our name, and it got really aggressive. Got really aggressive. That's my time on Twitter. Follow at Trader Thatch for more shenanigans like that. I don't want to reply to those anymore. But yeah, Pokemon wise, I haven't done too much. I did my gym team. I've been more enamored, and Linian probably as much as I have, with Tasha's Cauldron of Everything that dropped this week for D&D.
That came out this... I mean, I know it came out this week. I have not looked at it, really.
Oh, I looked at it with Shamu. I looked at it. I guess you've been, you're in school. You had school
I can
things.
Be a bee rider.
Well, I had a, there was yes. a combination, it was a combination of things for me that made me not do basically anything this week. I've been like in midterm paper hell, and every free minute I've just been plugging my ears with my earbuds and just listening to Rhythm of War, which is a book that I have been very excited about.
That's true. That also came out on the same day.
It yeah. did. And I glanced through Tasha's because someone sent me a PDF because I haven't got a physical copy yet.
I've got it on D&D Beyond, so it should be shared with you if you just want that.
Yeah, but I've been looking through it, and it all seems super cool. I don't have any major complaints. I really want to play... I've got a bunch of backstories that have come to me, but I want to play the shapeshifter barbarian.
Yeah, well, it's not even like full shapeshifting. It's like the barbarian gets like claws or teeth.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be like a werebeast, but
yeah,
the backstory in air quotes here that I want to play for this is a dude who's just experimented on. So when he rages, just like random chemical things. So like one day he just gets a bladed tail. And there, he is a tabaxi with, you know, con and strength now, because that's a thing. But if anyone ever asks him, he'll go, what's a tabaxi? So who knows what happened to him?
I'm pretty excited for it. One day I'll be able to play in a game, and I'll be able to build a character.
Bees.
You could do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Swarm Lord sounds really cool.
I'm doing it. They fixed all Ranger. My campaigns.
They fixed Ranger, which was really cool, but I don't... Yeah, it's a good book.
My very first RPG character, back when I was like 13, I was in middle school. It was in 3.5, and it was a soul knife.
Those are back.
And they're back. And a dinosaur story. I'm very excited.
They're back. All right. So, well, this is a Pokemon podcast. I just wanted to mention that, because that's what I've been working on. that's what I've been working on.
I've been exploring the Roshar region.
I've been just reading Tasha's Cauldron of Everything and having a good time. And that's been my life. I really want to. The thing that I realized is, like, I'm a gym leader in Fall League, so I did my gyms this week. Oh, by the way, if you want to do Fall League next week, because my gym time's on Thursdays, and there happens to be this holiday on Thursday called Thanksgiving.
What?
So I will not be available that day. So my gym time's moving to Monday, November 23rd. So the day this comes out at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., just for those of you who want to battle me then. I think that we'll have another week of badge collection after that, and then we'll be done. I'm very excited. We did work on some Puckle stuff this week. I'm actually really excited about it. We came up with, so for those of you who have been with Puckle for a very long time, this, I guess I'll announce it because it's really cool. If you've been with Puckle for a very long time, you know that every year since like 2016, except for this past year, we've done a giveaway in December called the Puckle Advent Calendar. And what that is every day in December leading up to Christmas, so December 1st through 24th, there is a giveaway that's going to be happening on Puckle. I'm very excited because we actually sat down and figured out every single Pokemon that's going to be given away. And we've got that ready. I think we just need like some assets and it's ready to go. I'm very excited. So it starts on December 1st. And I guess this is a good time to say that. It gives people a week to like really figure it out and be like ready for it. We've also got some surprises to go along with it that I'm very excited about as well. It's going to be more than just like the standard, like, hey, here's 24 Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, patrons get like some special stuff on top of that as icing. And but everybody can have some access at some like super secret Pokemon too. I'm very excited about that. Like more excited than I should be. Like I'm uber excited about it. It's gonna be a good time. But yeah, Advent Calendar made me very happy putting that together this year. We made it good this year, by the way. I think there's like one whiff out of 24. Because like every once in a while we want to be meme-y, but I was very good about not making us meme-y this time. So, we do not have a Palamon. All right. So, on that note, let's kick it on over to the news. Cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. Just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we have a lot of things to talk about, kind of. I don't know if that's actually true or not, but I'll let Linian start us off.
Some general news. We've got Original Stitch has released 4 new designs of Pokemon shirts to tie in with the Secret of the Jungle Pokemon. The designs are Shiny Celebi, which looks fine. Zarude, which has a pretty good pattern. Cramorant!
The Cramorant one's probably the coolest. That's the star of the show.
It actually looks great, and for some reason they also did Squawbit.
Why not? Who doesn't love Squawbit?
No, they didn't have why not. Also, just to throw in on this, because it's not on our list, and I get their emails, they also have bandanas for the original 151.
Oh, bandanas are kind of cool.
Yeah, and in these unprecedented times.
I'm just into the idea of bandanas in general. I'd wear them on my head, not on my face.
Yeah. But yeah, they did that for the original 151.
That way I look super cool when I ride my motorcycle.
Yeah, totes.
You know, I want to look super cool when I ride my motorcycle, like Uncle Jesse from Full House.
Or like those roughneck trainers that you see.
The English language release of the most recent Twilight Wings episode, Gathering Stars, is now available to watch. Prosy D did the voice of Mustard.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter.
Which is cool. Prosy D's like, he gets to do voices in a bunch of random things.
I know, I love it, and he always, you can almost never tell in the moment, because his range is insane.
Yes.
Sungwon Cho, yes. You're amazing.
Yeah, so he did Mustard, which is kind of cool. The only other thing is, I thought it was a kind of disappointing episode, but...
They imply the player character, and that was, like, the only interesting that happened.
It wasn't an interesting episode at all. Like, I think the other ones I was more enthralled by than that one. Because it kind of added to the lore, but this one was just kind of like, hey, Pokemon has an expansion pass. That one felt like an advertisement more so than the other ones.
It really did, especially when they went to Crown Tundra and then just held on all the birds just long enough for you to see them as marketable. Like,
exactly. It felt like, that one felt like a commercial, which felt kind of bad. I didn't like it as much. I don't know. I also, like, I really want to know, like, the real attach rate numbers for the expansion pass of Sword and Shield.
It's got to be really high.
It's got to be insane. Like, who are they trying to sell it to at this point, right? Like,
people who didn't buy the original game, I think.
I guess, yeah. I mean, that's what you have to do, because they did just come out with that pack that makes you spend an extra penny. I hate whenever they do that, by the way. I really, really hate when they, like, combine things and they're just like, well, it should still have the 99 cents at the end. But if you buy the two things separately, they both also have the 99 cents at the end. So then you save yourself a penny if you don't do it. I mean... And as Ben Franklin used to say, a penny saved is a penny earned. So just food for thought.
But I mean, you also save time by not having to download two things. So that's worth 1 cent to me. Opportunity cost.
The opportunity cost is probably worth it. But what if you invested that one penny into, like, Microsoft, you know?
Wow, I'd have 2 pennies.
I know. Okay, Seth, talk to us about the other exciting things.
All right. In the spirit of trailers, there's also a new Secrets of the Jungle trailer, which is the movie coming out in Japan on the 25th and in the U.S., I think sometime in, like, March or something like that. I forget.
Did they announce the time for the U.S.? I haven't heard any kind of time frame for the U.S.
They announced
some
a
time frame. Yeah. I don't remember what it is. It's later than I expected, though. But
it's very late because it's late in Japan this year, too.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, it's just a TV. It's going to be a TV or a streaming release. Like, it was never going to be a theatrical.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly,
outside Japan.
Honestly, if I'm Netflix at this point, I would just be like, hey, everything Pokemon's here.
Gimme. Yeah, exactly.
Because they already got the anime. Like, one, I think it's a really good move for Pokemon because I really like having it on Netflix. I'm not going to lie.
I agree.
This is the first time I've been able to keep up with the Pokemon anime since, like, Johto and Hoenn.
Without having to jump through hoops and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because, like, I never had cable and I never cared.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go to Cartoon Network to watch it, but, since it was on, like, Kids WB, I haven't been able to watch it like I have been with it being on Netflix.
They know their market, and that's an important thing, so that's good. But yeah, new trailer for that's out. It revealed a couple more details. That's really it. Over the weekend, so it's over now, there was also a shiny Squawbit event, because I guess they're pushing that Pokemon.
Squawbit is the rarest Pokemon of them all.
I hate that entire line.
It's ours.
Unless it's in PTU and it thermonukes a very big threat, then I'm okay with it. But I hate that entire line otherwise.
It's weird. I also like that they named the guy Coco, but they already have a Tapu Koko, and it confuses me. But we can talk about that another day. Let's see. So we're not going to talk too much about Pokemon Go news because that's in the topic today. But there is some other Pokemon Go news that we won't touch upon, because otherwise this would be a 2-page Pokemon Go segment.
And I hate it.
I played it this morning. I caught one thing. And then
you played it this morning?
Yeah.
Wow. So the news that we're covering in, we've got the whole thing is Pokemon Go Beyond. Put like a weird thing.
They've got like six things for it.
Go Beyond. This is to go even further beyond.
Thanks, Seth.
So Go Beyond Super Saiyan 6 arrives. So Gen 6 arrives in Go on December 2nd. We've got Froakie, we've got Chespin, we've got Fennekin, we've got Bunnelby, we've got Fletchling, and we've got Litleo.
This will probably actually make me want to play again. I'm not going to lie. Because Gen 6 is probably still my favorite generation. And I like all of those starters. I don't care what anybody says. They can fight me.
Those are all fine. Klefki will also be available in specific regions of France.
Yay!
Makes sense.
You can only have keys there, I heard.
That's where keys were invented, actually.
Yeah, I'm just glad that
is that
little...
true, though? It might be true.
Not even a little.
I'm finding out.
You see, they're only keys if they're from certain parts of France. In other places,
otherwise,
lock
metal
unlockers. Devices. That joke went over 90% of our listeners' heads.
The earliest lock and key device was found in the capital of ancient Assyria, modern day Iraq and Syria. So
yeah,
this is historically
France.
Fault. Yeah, I
basically
think this is France.
France.
Yeah, basically.
There is a mysterious one-star raid egg, but no additional information was given. I'm calling it now as Hanedge.
That'd be cool.
A special event to boost the spawns of Kalos Pokemon will run from December 2nd until December.
I'm into it. That way I can catch my Froakie, Chespin, Fennekin, Bunnelby, Fletchling, and Litleo.
Bless you.
Yep. That's what I'm all here for that. Also, Go Beyond. Go Beyond is also having an event until November 30th. Go Beyond Friendship. Friendship levels with friends will increase faster, and you will receive a bigger attack boost in raids with friends during that time. You will also receive more raid experience and can open a larger amount of gifts each day. Ooh. Woo.
That's neat.
It's okay. I mean, yep. I feel like that's like one of the more underwhelming things.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. It feels very like, I don't know. For me, like, I'm a casual player, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, from a casual perspective, it's like, okay.
All right.
Cool.
Exactly. In other Go news, the Lake Legends event are back from November 24 until November 30th. So the day after this comes out, you've got a week to find them again. They're going to be in 5-star raids for those people who forget the Lake Legends are Azelf, Mesprit, and Uxie.
They're also not region locked this time like they were the last time.
Which is neat. In addition to that, some more things are appearing in the wild and in eggs. Those are Abra, Machop, Ralts, Psyduck, Goldeen, Magikarp, Surskit, Starly, Bidoof, and Shellos are in eggs and stuff. And Shiny Goldeen, the long-awaited queen.
Is that a good
available.
Shiny?
It's no. But it's also Goldeen Seaking, Pokemon to which I have an irrational hatred, so.
Oh, no, it's just super orange now, instead of...
I had a beta fish once, so I'm okay with Goldeen.
Goldeen's okay. It's okay. So if the Pokemon Go and Home celebration has begun on Friday and lasts until 10 p.m. local time on Monday, so if the day this comes out it ends at 10, Meltan can be shiny again, and there are many special spawns, timed research, and special field research to be completed. Slowpoke is also available. It's a shiny.
Okay.
And special avatar attire, including a Melmetal jacket, vest, shoes, as well as Grand Oak's glasses.
They
available.
Got them arrows on them, yo.
Who is
yo.
Grand Oak in?
Grand Oak is the guy.
Oh, that was the
is the guy at the beginning of Home. Yeah. You know the guy that they should have just used Bridget again for? That guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the crazy arrow green glasses, yo. I'm here to take your Pokemon to their retirement.
I'm really okay with it being Bridget, because at this point they like solidified Bridget for like that kind of service, because she was the one in Pokemon Box and then she was Pokemon Bank. Mm-hmm. And it would have just been nice to have her for Pokemon Home and just call it good.
I agree with that. But oh well.
Yeah, we can't get everything we want. Also, transfers available to everybody now. Like, it doesn't matter about your level, as we all predicted forever. Stop freaking out anytime Niantic only releases something for level 40s. It's just a matter of time and it'll get to you.
Just making sure the servers don't collapse is all.
Yeah, that's all they're trying to do. Yeah, absolutely. Remember when Pokemon Go came out and it was a coin toss if you could log in?
Yep, I remember those days.
Yeah, that's what that was.
Yelling at people in the park walking around, I can't get in, neither can I!
Yep. Oh, Seth, end this.
You betcha. Well, guys, it's 2020 and it's rearing its ugly head again. Do you remember how we had all those pandemic-related bonuses that got taken away? Well, good quote unquote news is that they are back and they will be until June of 2021. So take that as good or bad or medium temperature lukewarm.
Does Niantic know more about the vaccine than we do?
That's the question.
I think they're just hedging their bets at this point. Like,
yeah, it was bad PR when they took it away, in my opinion. It was bad PR. That was really bad.
But it's here now for another 7 months. So
yes.
Yay.
Yay. Also, in Puckle news, Fall League is still going on, BT dubs. Make sure you go get those badges. Cloud9 and P. McGee are also doing weekly battles against the gym leaders, and I think they're winning all of them. So you can pretty much just, like, take their teams. Are they not? Who beat them?
I believe it was Liger. Completely thrashed them.
I can believe that. Never mind. That makes sense. So, yeah, you could check those out. The battles against Coil and Dr. Shamu are coming up later this month. So, yeah. Keep your eye out for that. Speaking of Liger, we're going to go to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Today, Linian and Seth are going to be operating as a team. I don't know if that's good or bad. And we'll try to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions from our Discord server. You can submit your questions over in the Trivia Submissions channel over on Discord. They try to answer them. There's a possible total of 8 points because of shenanigans. Some questions are worth more than 1 point, some aren't. They also have a lifeline and a hint that they can use to try to get the answer if they're having a rough time. If they don't use the hint and get all of the questions correct, they can cash in for an extra point at the end, which is included in the part of the 8. So we are going to jump right on into it, though. Right after I say they're competing against their fellow co-host in a race to 30 points, whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. Also, this is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for anime nerd something needs. They gave me a thing to say and I keep forgetting it. But they also give you a discount code. If you go over to AnimeGravy.com and use code POKEYQUIZ at checkout, you get a 20% discount. So go over there and buy all the things. So with that said, let's jump into it. Our first one is going to come from Backslash. What is the only non-water evolutionary line that gets the ability Damp?
The only non-water type Pokemon that gets the ability Damp.
For some reason, Parasect comes to mind, but I don't think that's correct.
Because it's got to be, like, something gross.
Something wet. Something moist.
Moist.
I would believe that the gross little caveman Parasect gets it. Sure. I can't think of any, like, non-water type frogs.
Venusaur.
Other
than that one. Is there any other, like, mushroomish thing that gets it? None of the other mushrooms get it.
No, because I know the other mushrooms' abilities.
What would Parasect's abilities be? It's got dry skin.
Hyper cutter. Yeah, I'll just say it, Paris.
I think it's that. I think it's them.
So you're going with Parasect?
Yeah.
Or the Paris line, sure. In general? That is correct. It is the Parasect line. Parasect's abilities are Dry Skin, Effect Spore, and Damp.
Aha, Effect Spore, not Hyper Cutter.
Yes, it's PT. Also not in Gen 8 anymore, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it even gets Hyper Cutter in PTU.
Nah.
The note that Liger gave me was Rip Claude at the bottom. Rip Claude, never forget. All right. Our next question is going to be from Disco. What type has the most unique type combinations? I guess this is this means how many types has it been paired with? Like, which type has been paired with other types the most?
Oh.
And it's flying.
Yeah, it's got one in every type.
There's flying in another type.
Oh, no. The answer, it's unique. What? I don't know what this question is.
So, like, remaining unused type combinations?
So, for instance, like, how many of them are Surskit-like, where it's bug and water?
I guess, yeah. I think it's like that.
How many
of one type combination with this type
contribute to a unique typing?
Yeah, so it's only one Pokemon has it.
So flying just by law of large numbers...
I guess like one evolutionary line, we should say.
Yeah, I follow.
Figure. Yeah.
So,
So the answer wouldn't be flying.
Yeah, no, because... Yeah, I think I understand it. Part of me wants to say Dragon, Ghost, or Dark. Or maybe Fairy, honestly. There aren't a whole lot of those.
Is it most Pokemon... Oh, dear.
Individual evolutionary lines that have unique typings have this type most often.
Yeah.
Would it be normal? Because I can't think of a lot of duplicate normal X types.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Like normal electric, Heliolisk, normal water, Bidoof.
Normal fire, the Litleo line. I mean, I can't think of multiple... There's like two normal psychics, and that's like Meloetta and Girafarig.
Normal fighting, Meloetta.
Or Beware. So, but like by and large, there's just really not a lot of duplication there. I would say normal.
Yeah.
I would feel most comfortable with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, let's do it. Normal.
Normal is unfortunately incorrect. Oh, the answer is ice. Ice ground in Mamoswine line. Ice grass in the Abomasnow line. Ice dragon in Kyurem. Ice fighting in Crabominable. Ice Ghost in Frostlass, Ice Fire in Darmanitan, Ice Fairy in Galarian Mr. Mime.
No, Alolan Ninetales too.
Oh, wow, that one doesn't count. Ooh, this was a bad question. Disco.
And Ice Psychic what's its name?
No, Ice Psychic I haven't said. There's no Ice Psychic. They're not counting that. Ice Dark is the Weavile line. Ice Rock is the Ice Rock type that exists that I don't know what I'm thinking
Amara.
Of. Yeah. Dang. Ice Bug and Snom, and then Ice Steel and Alolan Sandslash.
Okay, that's fair.
That makes sense. Dang it.
It's just Ice Psychic and Mr. Mime, so never mind. The fairy counts for Alolan Ninetales.
Yeah.
So there we go. Yep. Good for us. Alright, so your next question is your Pokedex entry. All you have to do is you're going to get a Pokedex entry. You're going to tell me what the Pokemon is. If you're riding the Struggle Bus real hard, I'll shove a second entry down your throat. If you get it on the first entry, you get 2 points. If you get it on the second entry, you get 1 point. If you don't get it at all, you get no points, as what the rules would suggest. All right, so this question is from Slowking Braveheart. Its Pokemon Shield entry states, this Pokemon has a kind disposition, but if it's provoked, it will threaten opponents with shrill cries before attacking them without mercy. Who's that Pokemon?
Shrill cries, kind disposition.
So it's a sound, like, Audino comes to mind. Because peaceful disposition and then audio cues.
Mm-hmm. None of the Hatterene line, because they won't wait for you to be angry to beat the crap out of you.
But they also don't make noise.
Yeah, they like it quiet. Kind disposition, shrill cries.
Is there like a motherly bird?
No, I don't think so. Not that applies.
Can fish scream? Can a mola mola?
That's not in Shield, so it can't...
Oh, right. No.
I know that because I was looking for a Wish Passer on a recent team, and that is not in Shield.
Nidoqueen? Maybe?
Maybe. I don't...
All right. Ride in the Struggle Bus, your team.
Let's just take another one.
Its Pokemon Emerald entry states, it hums in a beautiful soprano voice. It flies among white clouds in the blue sky. It launches intensely hot fireballs from its mouth.
Altaria.
It's Altaria, yeah.
Altaria is correct. You guys get one. You guys are 2 for 3 right there.
I like its Japanese name better, Tiltalus.
Oh my gosh, these all have a lot of answers. Okay.
Oh dear.
All right, so this next question has 6 answers. For every 2 answers you give me, you'll get a point. It is from MOMO. And MOMO wants to know, who are the 6 Pokemon that have at least 1 base stat in the single digits?
6 Pokemon with a base stat in single digits. Are these fully evolved or pre-evolved as well?
Both, yes.
Shedinja, Munchlax, Hapini, Chansey.
That's 3 or 4.
Shuckle.
That's 5.
Pukumuku.
That's six. That is 3 points for you guys. You guys are 5 for 4 now.
Ooh.
Wow.
Did not take us even 10 seconds.
You guys figured it out. Wow. Good on you guys. Well, it makes up for those other answers. Yeah. All right. So now I guess the question, this is going to be from Liger himself, the man who compiles the trivia. This is your base deck question. And he wants to know, what is the fire type Pokemon with the highest base speed?
I mean, it has to beat 137 because that's, Blacephalon isn't 137. It's like 137.
No, it's Blacephalon's 109.
Oh, right.
Mega Blaziken comes to mind.
Talonflame.
Talonflame has 126. Mega Blaziken by itself is not fast.
No, it's just 100.
And yeah, that's right.
What happened in Gen 8?
You do have the hint as well, by the way.
Which we can and kind of need to use.
Yeah, let's just use it. Let's just double check.
We got a question
Talonflame's
wrong.
Talonflame's my forerunner.
This is a dual-type Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
This Pokemon also has two forms.
Oh, it's Galarian Darmanitan. Zen
oh, yeah.
Mode.
Yeah. Yep. Darmanitan.
Because it goes up to, like, what, 140 or something?
Yeah.
Galarian Darmanitan with Zen Mode is correct. It's got a base speed of 135. The next fastest is Talonflame at 126, and then Cinderace comes in behind that at 119.
What's that Pokemon?
Yeah, it's, I mean, is it even a fire type anymore? I don't know.
Is it a fire type?
What move did it just use?
Pyro Ball, dang it.
You guys got 6 points. That's something.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised where that puts you on the tier list right now.
Bottom.
So, in first place, we have Whimsicott with 13 points.
Oh my god.
In second place, we have a two-way tie between P. McGee and Dr. Shamu at 7. In a five-way tie for fourth,
whoa,
we've got Sublime, Cloud9, Jashiro, Linian, and Seth Vilo all with 6 points. Our Sigma and Basket have yet to get on the board. But that is it for this segment of PokeQuiz. It's still anybody's game. We'll see what happens next time. So catch us next time. But until then, we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back at you with the topic. We have another review this week from Burton Fly, and he says, good podcast. I love this podcast. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Burton. And if you too have an iTunes review, you can drop it over on iTunes. We would really appreciate it. You can also go ahead to anywhere else you listen to the podcast and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. So yeah, we are going to move on now to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is going to be Pokemon Go Beyond. We talked a little bit about this with the friendship because it was an event. And them calling it Beyond is stupid. There are two other factors to this. There's one is very nice, and the other one's like kind of like okay, in my opinion at least.
Mm-hmm.
So Go Beyond in seasons is very cool. I guess there were four things. There was Go Beyond Friendship, Go Beyond Generation 6.
Yeah, Go Beyond in general.
And then there's Go Beyond 40, which we'll talk about second. But Go Beyond Seasons, I think, is really cool. Beginning December 4th, Pokemon Go will begin to run in 3-month seasons, which will mirror real life seasons. And so Deerling's going to come out and it's going to change its form based on seasons, which is really cute.
I'm so excited.
That's kind of cute. I'm kind of into that.
I love Saucebuck. It's so cool.
The first game we've acknowledged that Deerling has other forms since Gen 5.
Yeah.
To be fair, Deerling wasn't in Gen 7. It's not in Gen 8. It wasn't catchable in Gen 7. In Gen 6, there was like one place to catch it on an island in Auras, and that's it. Like, we complain about Perugly not getting love. Deerling's kind of on the cusp there, too.
We can't figure out how to do seasons. We don't know what we're doing anymore. They just need to figure out a way around it in the main games like they've done with Magnezone with Thunderstone.
You know what I'm telling you right now? Like, you add, like, one more DLC area into Sword and Shield, and you can have one form in the base Swish. You can have one form on Isle of Armor, one form in Crown Tundra, one form on the new place.
Yes! Tundra Summer!
So... What fall world can we do?
Exactly.
Okay,
too many
ideas now.
It's just Ecruteak City, but an island.
Just that. One city in Johto.
If it's just like, hey, you get to go to Ecruteak City and chill out in the airport because you can't get out, but it lets you evolve like coughing to wheezing. Like normal because you're not in the region anymore. Yeah, like the wormholes.
Exactly. I love it.
The thing I like about these seasons more than anything else, actually, is specific Pokemon will start to spawn more regularly during the related seasons like Darumaka in the summer. I love that for a lot of reasons because I think it's really poopy. They instituted weather, but what if you live someplace that never snows?
Yeah.
You're never getting any ice types. I like that the seasons will kind of fix that issue without them having to shove more events down my throat.
Mm-hmm.
They still will, but you know.
Oh, no, there's going to be more, there's still going to be events, but I mean, it's going to make it better-ish.
In a sense, it also kind of reminds you to come back every couple of months. When the season changes, you're like, oh, shoot, I don't have a whatever, or oh, I want mm-hmm. more grass or fire or whatever for summer. I could yep. hop in for a couple minutes. Oh, there's a lot of things that are different. Let's see what's different. Blah, 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 blah.
I like having different things. I think that's really cool. I really like that.
And like you said, it's different. It's natural different, not forced different. You don't mm-hmm. have to adapt to this every... You don't have to research what's new. You just know, okay, it's springtime now.
There's probably going to be some more bugs.
I'm a big fan of that, especially if they take the time and they divvy up the types between the seasons really, really well.
And if they're starting Gen 6, I mean, there are a lot of Pokemon in that game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And exactly.
This will help make it more manageable to try to collect.
And roll out as well.
Well, they have to do something to make people keep playing, because Gen 6 isn't like Gen 5, where they're just like, oh, we have Pokemon forever.
Mm-hmm.
Gen 6, like, they have less than half the Pokemon they had in Gen 5 to
like
give out.
80 or something, right?
69.
69?
Nice. Yeah, there's 69 Pokemon that were introduced in Generation 6, if I'm not mistaken.
And some of them were even interesting.
And some of them have, like, 50 forms.
Gen 6 is generally fine.
Gen 6, I thought, was pretty good. That was, like, the smallest generation they added Pokemon, but I thought they... That was when they started doing these smaller batches of Pokemon for generations, but I would say since then, more of the Pokemon designs, most of the Pokemon designs have been, like, good.
Yeah, I just know that there's going to be a whole Spritzy and Swirlix event, and I can't.
They're gonna introduce them
that.
Separately, like they introduced Petlil and Whimsicott separately. Like, they did those separately. I don't understand that, but it's fine. Certain Mega Evolutions may see an increased CP during the related season. Presumably, things like Mega Gengar would be better in the fall.
Yeah.
Mega Raids will also better correspond to their season.
So cool. I love that.
Mega Raids.
I don't know, Seth. Maybe you like Mega Raids, but I'm still not a fan of it.
I've never done one, but I like the idea of it being kind of also rotating.
I like the idea of it rotating, and I like it rotating on a schedule that I know about.
Yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
I think that's my biggest problem with, like, just Pokemon in general as of late, is they're not being very transparent about their plans.
Everything feels new. There's not something you can kind of set your own internal schedule on, you know?
Exactly. And I enjoy this. That's going to be like, this seems like semi-transparency.
Yeah. Between Sword and Shield and the events there and now the events going on in Go all the time, I'm kind of feeling inundated with news and it's kind of overwhelming. So I've kind of tuned out everything. So this being rotating and natural, it lets me calm down a little bit.
I definitely like Go is now like an information overload. And yeah. I like this because it's something that's just like, hey guys, we're just setting this baseline now. Here you go. And I'm very, very happy about it. Go Battle Leagues will now last 3 months and correspond with the season for its timeline and rewards. That's kind of cool. This coincides with the change to 24 levels as opposed to 10 in Go Battle League. So you have to go to 24 levels instead of 10 levels. The first season is to be called the Seasons of Celebration and will feature multiple events. Who would have thought? And there will be a brand new global event experience at the conclusion of the season. I like that. Like, I see a lot of people complaining about, like, the Pokemon Go Fest, like, hey, pay us $15 to go do something. Mm-hmm. thing, but I'm not against that, especially like if you're really into the game.
Yeah,
like I'm not against it. Yeah, $15 to go to Go Fest doesn't sound like a bad idea. Especially, I also think that having Go Fest in one location was very stupid all of the time, but that's just a Thatch thing.
Particularly now.
Well, yeah, particularly now, but I think before this I think it was stupid. I think one, you can make more money by selling me a $15 ticket regardless.
Yeah, sell it to the world instead of people within 100 miles of Chicago.
Of Chicago. Yeah, exactly. Because they would always sell out too. And it's just like, do you not want more money? Literally just let me walk around my neighborhood and do this.
Uh-huh.
How is it this hard to understand?
They wanted it to be an event.
It wants to be
a bad idea, but you know.
But now it is.
Well, you already have like these really good community. Well, you have these communities that exist locally.
I'm not going to object to what Thatch did there. I think it's perfectly acceptable.
Some of them are good. Some of them aren't great. I don't know. My favorite thing is there's totally a guy here in Dayton that, like this old Chinese guy, he runs around and he has 20 phones all of the time.
Oh, dude, nice.
You see him, like, driving his car, and he, like, pulls up his, like, little rack of 20 phones.
Dude.
And he's, like, tapping it, doing his own raids by himself and stuff. It's really weird. It's some, like, crazy nonsense.
That's awesome.
There are whales, and then there are leviathans.
I wouldn't even call him that, because what I assume he's doing is he's selling accounts. That's what I assume he's doing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I assume he's doing, is he's selling accounts. But yeah, I mean, I like the seasons. I think Go Beyond Seasons is one of the cooler things that's happening in Pokemon Go right now. Now, we do have Go Beyond 40, which is them increasing the level cap finally after 5 years.
Has it been 5 years?
It'll be 5 years in June, in July.
Wow.
Pokemon Go has had like a level cap for 40 since the game came out. And so going into 50, I think, is very appropriate because you have a lot of people who have leveled up to 40 like 5 times already.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the experience points sitting there. I think it's cool because they are letting you still like hold on to the experience, but they found a way to still like slow roll you. So you can't just like blow to level 50 automatically.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. And I don't really understand all of the things that come with it because I'm still sitting over here at level 37.
You and me both, my friend.
I was just taking my time. Like, it was just like, what's the point of getting to level 40 and maxing out? I felt, because like, once I hit that max level, I go, meh. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the point of playing anymore, right? I can transfer everything to home. Even then, like, I don't even know that I want to transfer anything from Go to home. Because it's just like, I already have those things.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest problem is just with the lack of access to legendaries. I don't like that legendaries are mostly tied to raids. That's my biggest critique of Pokemon Go.
It makes sense, though.
It makes sense. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I don't like that it makes sense. I want it to be illogical.
I don't like that there's not, like, a route for solo players.
Yeah.
You know
I
what I mean?
That.
Well, there was, and it was called the freaking daily...
The research test.
The research thing at the end, I agree with you, and then they ruined it. But don't worry, you can get like a Togetic this month. So, yep, it's dumb.
Yeah, a thing that I need an item to evolve. How gracious.
Yep, a Sinnoh Stone at that, right? all right, so they did introduce up to level 50 now. They are rolling it out, and it requires players to complete certain tasks to level up as well as experience, which is kind of neat.
I agree.
I think we only have everything that gets you up to level 46 right now, because this is like an ongoing process still.
Yeah.
But if you're at level 40, it takes 6 million experience to go to 41, but you also need to power up a legendary Pokemon 20 times. That's actually a pretty big task.
Oh no.
You need a lot of rare candy.
Thank goodness I've been storing those.
You need to win 30 raids on top of that. You need to catch 200 Pokemon in a single day, which I guess is just like one of those days where you're just like, I guess I'm going to sit down and do this. And you need to earn 5 gold medals. But I think most of us have probably already done that. I feel like you earned 5 gold medals by then.
As a reminder, the part of the COVID things is that incense works better. And that'll be going until June of next year. So this catch 200 Pokemon in a single day. If you have incense sitting around, do it then.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So, I mean, that one's not too bad. Going from 41 to 42, 7.5 million experience. You need to evolve Eevee into each of its unique evolutions.
Which really, you can't do the nickname control more than once, right?
Yeah, like, you can't do nickname control more than once. You can do Leafeon, Glaceon, Umbreon, and Espeon controllably. Those you can control.
But to control them, you need cash items for...
You do need items to...
You can occasionally get them, I think.
You can get them if you get collect coins through gym battles. It's like, if you maxed out for 4 days, you would be able to go get a... you'd be able to go get, what's it called? Like a lure.
A weather thing, yeah.
You go get one of the lures. But then, even then, Umbreon and Espeon, you just walk with them for free.
Mm-hmm.
And you get it. So, it's reasonable. You also have to use 200 berries to help catch Pokemon and make 3 excellent throws and use items to evolve Pokemon 15 times. Wow.
Wow, actually.
At least it puts the Pokemon... Like, I have so many of those evolution items sitting in my bag.
Yeah.
That it makes me feel good for not throwing them out.
Yeah. But, like, these are difficult, in a sense.
They're not easy. Yeah, they're not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It gets worse. 9 million experience to get to 43 from 42. You need to earn 100,000 Stardust. You need to catch 200. You need to use 200 super effective charged attacks.
Oh,
catch 5 legendary Pokemon and earn 5 platinum medals.
I wonder if the count starts when you reach level 42, or if you've caught 5 legendaries up to that point, it'll just.
I don't know.
Off.
I would assume
that one doesn't reset.
Yeah, that one because might be new, but something like earn 5 platinum might be. Just,
yeah,
if it happened.
Yeah, that one I can see being reflect, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Retroactive.
Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, 43 sucks. 43 to 44 sucks. 43 11 million
sucks.
Win 30 trainer battles in Great League. That's okay. Great League's not bad. Great League is probably the most balanced. Win 30 trainer battles in Ultra League. Okay. Win 30 trainer battles in Master League. Oh, God. And then win 20 trainer battles in Go Battle League.
Yeesh.
And then there's also 13 million after that. Defeat 100 Team Go Rocket Grunts.
Oh, my God.
Purify 100 Shadow Pokemon.
Oh, my God.
Defeat a Go Rocket Leader 50 times and get 10 Platinum Medals.
Well, this is cool. This tells me that the Rocket thing is staying. Like, the Rocket I always thing, had it in the, my the head rocket, that it was going
I like
away.
It. I like the Rocket thing.
I get slightly annoyed logging in every single time and there's always an hot air balloon above my head. Always that a balloon. Gets annoying.
For 15.5 million to get to 46, it's complete 100 field research tasks. Actually, not that bad.
No, yeah. that's totally reasonable.
I like the idea of grinding through them because, like, I always feel like, hey, I did one for the day, but these are all super easy.
Yeah.
I also think research tasks are one of the better things they added to Go. I'll be completely 100% honest.
100% agree with you. Yeah, it gives you a reason to play every day.
Yep.
Yeah, zero objection.
Take a snapshot of a Pokemon 7 days in a row. Okay,
I think
that feature is stupid. Make
that's
50
what's
excellent throws.
It too, you can tell because they don't have anything after that.
Yeah.
So it's because they have weight.
That's the hold up. That's the bottleneck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make 50 excellent throws and then hatch 30 eggs. But that's the bottleneck right now is the 7 days in a row thing. So that's why we have nothing else.
So come back to us in a week. We'll have the rest of these. Maybe.
Maybe.
Man.
49 to 50 is make 50 excellent throws for 7 days in a row. Ah!
Catch 200 Pokemon with excellent weather boosts every day.
I mean, we have like general requirements. It's kind of weird. Like I don't know. We have general requirements. The other things they added that I don't completely understand are Pokemon Candy XL. I don't understand.
So let me explain it to you, Thatch.
Yes.
They decided that some Pokemon... They had two problems. One, Pokemon trainers had candy and nothing to do with it.
Yes,
and,
that's me.
Two, they had people who had Pokemon that while the trainer was casual and didn't play a whole lot, they ended up dying in raids because they couldn't have Pokemon strong enough to participate with the content because they were making it for their level 40s. So what they did is they created a solution that would remove candy from the economy by turning it into this and solve two problems. One, it would let people who are more casual play with their favorites because they'll have a lot of candy for that. They'll power up this thing beyond a normal Pokemon. That's what it lets you do. It lets you go above
the Oh, so it just increases
CP.
The level cap for the Pokemon?
Increases the CP cap, yeah.
Yeah, it increases the CP cap.
Temporarily. Okay.
And then for the whales, for the like level 40 plus and eventually level 50 guys, what this will do is create an eternal Metapod measuring contest, shall we say.
No, you're exactly right. You're... No, that is an absolute
My Mewtwo
absolute
is
truth.
Basically its own raid boss. Blah.
So it actually, I don't love it as a solution, but I have to admit it solves two problems at once.
Wait, so what's different about it? So explain to me I understand it's 100 regular candy to make a candy XL.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then you use that one candy XL to bump your CP as if you leveled up, but your level stays the same.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Is it permanent?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was temporary. Look at me being dumb.
That's cool. I'm into
that
it.
That is cool. I'm going to have a Sableye that is the destroyer of worlds.
Right.
I'm
so into it. It lets you take one Pokemon, especially easier on common stuff, and just god mode it. And that's the whole point.
I'm into it. Okay. Okay. Makes sense. I've just been confused about that one because like everybody's like, oh, Pokemon XL. And I'm just like, I don't know what the difference is, but okay. That is me. Okay, I see. So before you could only get to power up level 80.
Well, it was your level, so it'd be level 40.
Well, it says 80 on here. I'm looking at Cerebi, but it could be 40. Your level is 40, but I think Pokemon levels themselves actually capped out at like 37.
Yeah, because it's your level doubled is what you could.
Yeah, and okay, so that's why 77 to 88. Okay, I understand now.
Yeah,
and so but now to go even farther, you have to use Candy XL and a bajillion Stardust. Oh my gosh, that's a lot of Candy XL you need too. It's like 10 Candy XL. That's not a little bit of candy.
Wow. Yeah,
that's 1,000 candy. Okay,
yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
It's a neat idea. I think Niantic has been really bad at like calculating
cool theory,
how
terrible in practice.
So the idea is you can power up your Pokemon past the max level, right?
Cool.
It went from 4 candy to level them up from one level to another. And then now it's just like, oh, hey, by the way, instead of 4 candy, it's going to be 100. And I'm sitting over here like, the scale there. And they're just like, no, Thatch, we're right. You're wrong. I could see it being like 1 XL candy at the start and then like cranking it up to like 4 XL candy. But I mean, at some point you're getting to like, or 2000, it's 1000 candy, not even 100. I am wrong. That's even worse. Niantic, fix it.
Strong.
I just need them to fix it. I want them to make their game better and not poop. That's all I want. Please make your game not poop. Like, that's bad, IMO. I think that's bad.
And when you get them to the maximum thing with that, then it removes the cost of transferring away.
Does it? Or no? It's not going to.
If it could, that would be hilarious because they'd be making you make these ultimate powered Pokemon, then getting them immediately out of the ecosystem.
I think that, I don't know, like, Go's just been really bad at, like, being like, hey, what's, like, a reasonable number we should put on a thing?
1,000,000.
And some guy goes, 10! And they go, 10! 10 candy! 10 candy each requiring 100 candy! You're a genius, Greg! And Greg's like, no, I said 10. And they said, yeah, we heard you, and they walk away.
Poison for Cusco.
How long should it take to recharge the Pokemon home thing? Oh, well, it's a week. What?
10. What? 10 weeks.
10 weeks. We should have 10,000 energy, but it takes 7 days to recharge it. I just feel like they're really bad at it. I just feel like they're really bad. How long should we let Mega Evolution last when you have Mega Evolve a Pokemon? 4. Oh, 4 hours? No, I meant like 4 days. No, 4 hours. That's what
no,
we're going
I meant
with.
Forever. You cut me off before I could finish.
The whole thing's a mess. Pokemon Go's trying. I'll give them that. Like, they're doing some good things, like, this year, like...
They're trying, but they're trying my patience.
I can say that, like, I'll poop on them from stuff that they put in the game since, like, September. But before that, I think they were doing great. I thought their COVID response was phenomenal. I thought the way they handled GoFest this year was really cool and really great, and that's the way GoFest should always be, forever and always. But, like, it wasn't until, like, Mega Evolution, it was just like, okay, you guys are trying to get me to buy remote raid passes, and then they took away the pandemic stuff. And then they're just like, oh, hey, Pokemon Go transfer. And then they're just like, hey, level 50, but it's stupid hard. Kind of how I feel right now. But it's like, it's just like misstep after misstep. But they did reinstate the pandemic things like we were talking about in the news.
Yeah, which is good. They needed to.
Yeah, they should. They absolutely should. I think honestly, it's immoral to not do it.
Yeah. At this point. Right now, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's immoral to not, but that's just me. Overall, though, I think these are cool. I'm kind of hoping Niantic, at least on like the Pokemon leveling thing, like rolls back a little bit. I like the idea of levels being hard to get, though, after level 40.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. I think this is a good place to wrap up. I think it's an overall okay thing. I'm not mad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty meh.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 486, Regigigas, the colossal Pokemon.
It is believed to have shaped Regirock, Regice, and Registeel out of clay, ice, and magma, according to Heart Gold and Soul Silver. No one knows where the other two came from.
Nobody. Nobody ever. Regigigas, you're such a silly Pokemon. All right, so Regigigas is, I mean, he's Regigigas, and his stats are pretty decent. He's got a base stat total of 670. Fun fact, same amount as the Calyrex forms.
Which just goes to show how busted those are.
I mean, his stats are spread pretty evenly, too,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice. Like, base HP of 110, base attack of 160, base defense of 110. Special attack of 80, special defense of 110, speed of 100. So, like, it's decent all around. The biggest thing hankering it down is its ability slow start, but we're going to talk about how to get rid of that today in VGC. But the slow start is unfortunately its only ability. It has no hidden ability. You can't get rid of it. It sucks. Regigigas. It just exists as a Pokemon to be caught, I think. I like to imagine that. All right, but there are some things to talk about, so let's jump right into it. Our team this week is a VGC team, as it is the month of Fall League, so we wanted to take some time to talk about some VGC strats in Season 7. And this is probably one of the bigger ones that's like a meme that's going around. This team, I believe, was actually made by Coil Builder on the Discord server. But this is a Regigigas Weezing team. So you have your Regigigas with its slow start, holding a life orb, 252 attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed. It's running Protect, Giga Impact, High Horsepower, and Ice Punch. To get round Slow Start, which has your attack and speed for the first 5 turns, Regigigas is out. You bring a Weezing with Neutralizing Gas. This is a normal Cantonian Weezing, and I've talked to Coil about this particularly, like why he chooses regular Weezing over the more common, in my opinion. I believe it's more common than Galarian Weezing. Mm-hmm. And regular Weezing doesn't have a Steel weakness, so... He likes to run it without the steel weakness. The defensive stats are essentially the same.
Yeah.
And so this is a Weezing holding a Shookaberry because it's not Levitate. It's Neutralizing Gas, so it can still be hit by ground-type moves. And it's got a 252 HP, 4 special attack, 252 special defense, Calm Nature, Taunt, Will-O-Wisp, Sludge Bomb, and Protect. It's pretty standard fare for a Weezing. And so the idea is you just go big with Regigigas and you have Weezing out, and you Protect, and you just let Regigigas go ham for 3 turns at least.
Yeah,
because it's actually really hard to kill Weezing. It's really hard to kill Weezing, surprisingly.
Fair warning, when Weezing goes down, Slow Start kicks in.
Yes, that's
it
when it starts.
Count the turns. Yes, it doesn't count the turns you've already been out.
No ability kicks in until Weezing is down. And it's actually really cool to play that Weezing against stuff like Rillaboom.
Mm-hmm.
Because then Rillaboom doesn't get its grassy terrain. It's really nice.
Yep.
I know Seth is absorbing all of this.
Yep, a little bit. This is a little different than how my brain works, so.
It is, yeah. OU versus VGC are two completely different worlds.
Yeah, which is why they gave me the two friendliest to OU Pokemon on this team. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've got a Rotom Heat holding Leftovers, which baffles my brain. It's got 252 HP, 252 special attack, 4 special defense, Modest Nature, so just max HP, max attacking. And
well, we have item limits in VGC, Seth, you see? Right. So
well, no, it's not that. It's just that it's not wearing shoes.
We don't need shoes.
How do you have a Rotom Heat without shoes? My brain. Anyway.
I've never had to use shoes ever this gen because I haven't played OU.
Yeah. So its moves are Volt Switch, Thunderbolt, Nasty Plot, and Overheat. Pretty good defensive Rotom, and it can set up itself and go to town. Does Overheat hit both things?
No, It's not spread.
I couldn't remember.
It's single target.
Okay. I could not remember. And it doesn't get Heat Wave or anything like that.
No.
Because its only fire move is the microwave.
Rotom is like one Pokemon that's just always been good.
I love Rotom. It's my favorite electric.
Like, ever since it got its forms, it's been good.
Yeah.
Well, I'd say Gen 5. Gen 5, actually. Not Gen 4 Rotom. When it was still Electric Ghost the entire time.
It was
still
good. It was a good Scizor counter, which was needed at the time.
Once it got its types, it was good. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Anyway, the other friendly to OU Pokemon here is Urshifu, which is going to be the...
Dark variant?
Yeah, the single
strike
variant.
This is the
dark
one. This is the Wapah one.
I had to make sure.
It's not running the Wapah move, though, which is confusing to me.
Yeah, that's why I had pause. I was looking for that move specifically. Obviously, Unseen Fist is the ability, lets it bypass Protects, which is really handy in VGC formats. 252 attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed, Jolly Nature, and its moves are Sucker Punch, Close Combat, U-Turn, and Iron Head. Pretty simple, pretty standard. It beats things to a pulp.
Yep.
Notably,
yep.
When it Gigantamaxes, even though it doesn't have Wicked Blow, it still gets the Protect and Max Guard smashing Dark move off Sucker Punch.
Yes.
So you do have that option.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, last two rounding out, we have Regieleki with a Focus Sash. If I have to tell you this thing's spread, why? 252 special attack, 252 speed, 4 special defense. It's timid to outrun other Regieleki.
Does it need to be timid?
That was going to be my point. Is it timid or modest? That's all you need to know.
I think it's smart to have this one be timid to outspeed all of the modest Regieleki, because most of them are just modest. because this one has light screen.
Okay.
So this one has screens, reflect, it has electroweb, which is spread that slows. It's electric, icy wind, except it can't miss, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know off the top of my head. And then it's got thunderbolt because that's its most reliable move via transistor. And lastly, we have something near and dear to my heart, Neeligo. It's got 4 HP, 252 special attack, 252 speed. That'll be bumping its special attack when it gets things knocked out because it's got beast boost. It's got Dazzling Gleam, Sludge Bomb, and Protect. But you're probably going, wait, what's its health item? That's a power herb because it's got Meteor Beam. So
it's the only other Pokemon I've seen run a power herb that's not Xerneas.
Right?
I think this is the first time, like, because Nihiligo is actually, like, this Nihiligo specifically is actually pretty popular right now in VGC.
Yeah. Oftentimes they'll swap Dazzling Gleam for Power Gem.
Yes.
But both work.
Yes, I agree with that.
Meteor Beam gives you +1 special attack and then a massive stab nuke. You will probably kill what you hit with it, which means you're right now at +2.
Yep.
And Dazzling Gleam is spread.
Dazzling Gleam is spread. Good job, Seth.
I know things.
Go have a cookie.
Sludge Bomb is your main stab from there. Dazzling Gleam can spread, and if you get double KOs off of something that's been weakened, oh boy, this thing can spiral out of control. It's 1 point faster than Garchomp. It's speed.
103 speed, yeah.
Yeah, it's 103 speed. So that Dazzling Gleam, if you're plus anything, is just going to splatter that Sand Dragon. So you don't have much to fear. That'll also help you fight those Moltres.
Yep, especially the Moltres. Moltres is super popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but that's the team. If you want to try it out, it'll be over on the Thingamajigger, the Discord, and you guys can take it for a spin. On that note, I think this is a good place to stop. We're going to kick it on over, though, to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails! Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can send an email into pucklepodcast@gmail.com and can be around on the show. It's also brought to you by the fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Fictional hooves!
And as always, we'll give a Green Tauros badge to an email we read if we think it's good and it inspires confidence. We received a lot of emails this week, a lot of them very off topic. I would like to remind people, if they want to win the Green Tauros badge and get on the show, to actually write emails of substance. And paragraph breaks and punctuation are always appreciated. With that said, we've got 2 emails to read today instead of 3, as we normally would. But we got more than 3 emails. I just like to point out content may be a reason why we filter.
if you're going to talk about U.S. tax law.
Yeah, okay. So, but our first email this week is going to be from Krabby Snail.
Yeah, Krabby Snail. Hey, Puckle, I have been listening for over a year now, and I love the podcast. My best friend and roommate got me into it. You should.
Okay, pause. Pause. yes. One, I love, this is the thing that I've been wanting for my entire life in the mailbag, and he's the first person to ever do it. Before the email, before any of the content of the email, before the hey, Puckle, anything, he says, my name is Krabby Snail in the Discord.
So we know just ahead of time.
Just so we know ahead of time. Like, that's, I wanted that. It's been 13 years.
It's been 2,000 years.
It's been 13 years, and that's all I've ever wanted. But I digress. We can continue.
I love that the Pokemon Go transfer is finally here. I just started a new playthrough of Sora. It's the third one, which is always the best. Also, it's the first one post-DLC. I've only had enough energy to transfer 5 shinies, so I made sure to pick ones I had extras from community days or really low CP. Favorite mon I sent over was a shiny Eevee everyone got from that research task. It was a really great way to spice up the playthrough, especially not knowing which Eevee Lucian to have it evolve into. I ended up using a shiny Trico as well and evolving the Eevee into Espeon. I also gave it an ability patch for it to have magic bounce.
Shiny Trico nice. Is actually one of the best ones.
That's such a cool idea.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's like, hey, I just took this Pokemon, ability patch, done, poof.
And like, being like, I caught this in real life and now I'm using it in my playthrough. I can't do it. It's so cool.
That is kind of cool. Yeah.
I picked Espeon because in my battle tower in Leaf Green way back then, these twin NPCs there used Espeon and Umbreon, and the Espeon was shiny. I remember that. It made me very angry I couldn't catch it. I will say that I wasn't surprised by the backlash with the week-long recharge rate of the transfer box, but I found a way to make the most of the situation. It will take some time, but eventually I'll get those extra shinies transferred. Thank you for the podcast. Have fun, Krabby Snail.
Your best friend and your roommate sound really cool.
Totes.
I think they're the same person, but I like to imagine it's two other people. Like, there's a best friend and a roommate.
Two other listeners. Both of them recommended it.
My advice remains the same.
My best friend. I like that there's like two people living together and they have a shared interest in my voice.
Hubris.
My hubris is growing.
That makes me very uncomfortable.
They're just like, oh, we hate Thatch now. We only listen for Seth.
It's like fireside chats.
Gather around the radio, kids, and let's listen to the Puckle podcast.
Do you think they get together? We should have a podcast about the podcast.
No.
Like an after show?
No. You know?
Yeah, it's the Puckle Uckle, the Pokemon Underground Champions League Underground Champions League.
Exactly, the Puckle Uckle. That's what we need. Okay, that way you can get really into the host background.
I'm getting physically tired listening to this idea.
That's good. You'll be more energized when you are actually part of that idea.
That's not how it works.
All right, Seth, I'm going to make you get this next one from Skookum, or Mark on the Discord server.
All right. Greetings, Puckle persons. It is I, Magistrate Mark of the Dunsparce Gang, writing in again. I have many strong opinions about today's topic. I'll try and keep from being overly critical. Like most folks, I played Go at launch and had high expectations. It seemed like the Pokemon game I always wanted, marrying real-life adventure to finding and catching Pokemon. I remember how exciting the game was during the first few months, with people teaming up to find new gyms and catch rare Pokemon. I was working as a ranger at the time, and was the first person to find and take over a number of remote gyms.
Whoa. He was a ranger. Did he use the remote control top thing?
Yeah, Pokemon Go at that time had a feature where you had to spin
whip your phone around.
Yeah, you had to spin in a circle in order to catch the Pokemon.
A little top popped out of your phone, and you spun it around the Pokemon in a certain number of times.
It uses the gyroscope in your phone. Now get out there and spin really fast.
The antenna just forcibly extends.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, goodness. We have a good time here.
Yes, we do.
Back to this. I embraced the opportunity to be the final boss hikers had to face at the top of a mountain or a scenic lookout, and it was cool seeing all the new people out experiencing nature. That's so neat.
That's a cool aside.
Can you just imagine this? You convince your other four out-of-shape nerd friends who are super into Pokemon Go. You finally talk them into going on a hike because there's a remote gym, and you get up there to see a rugged mountain man who has been training Pokemon to defend this gym. I would be so entertained and simultaneously done with what was happening.
Oh my gosh. Back to it. When the hype faded, I forgot about Go. Last year, I picked it up again out of curiosity, and I kept playing for one reason. The promise that one day I could transfer the Pokemon I caught to home, and they would all become real boys. In preparation, I built out a living dex in Go.
Oh, God.
It helped provide purpose to logging in. I already have most of the Pokemon over in home, but it's nice to be able to fill out the gaps, especially middle evolutions and forgettable Pokemon that I've looked over, looking at you, Chimecho.
Yeah.
I might be in the minority, but I really like home as a tool, and right now it's the only option we have to collect all the Pokemon in one spot. One of the interesting things I'm seeing from having connectivity to Go is that there's a greater diversity of Pokemon circulating in Wonder Trades.
I also love the absurdity of having things like a level 15 Dragonite and a level 7 Electivire.
I love it.
Is that how the level transfer happens? What is it?
I don't know.
To?
I don't know exactly. No,
let I don't. Me look e- I don't know either.
Keep going. Keep going.
I feel like everything's at level 5. Why not? Oh god.
Keep going. Keep going.
Some folks don't consider the Go Pokemon to be real and therefore inferior, but I'd like to point out that they are fully functional upon transfer to home, unlike Let's Go, which has missing stats. Once I finish evacuating the Pokemon I want or need, I plan on ditching Go for good. Pokemon Go is an extremely flawed, quote, game that is only fun if you enjoy endless grinding, terrible battling, and paying money to hatch eggs. With all that Go has done this year, it doesn't take much foresight to see the writing on the wall. Go is going to be increasingly monetized from here on out. Niantic wants to squeeze this product for everything they can before it fades into obscurity. I might log in for community days once in a while, but I see this as the end of my Go experience. I can't imagine that I'm alone. Catch you on the flip-flop, Magistrate Mark.
That was harsher than I expected, but I don't disagree with a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all.
I'll probably still keep going because I'm an addict, but and it's fun. Like, the concept now that I can make a reality, that I can catch a Pokemon in real life, I can take the Treecko that I caught in the Sistine Chapel and play with it in my game. That's so cool to me.
I get that idea of the concept. Seth, I don't disagree with that. I do still have a problem with, like, all of the Go Pokemon not being able to, like, go to Sword and Shield, and I understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
I understand the reasoning behind it. It doesn't mean I have to like it, but I understand it.
Oh, by the way, that Treecko's name is Treecko Angelo, because...
God, I hate you. Okay. There's just so many things about you, Seth. We're friends. Let the record state.
Thank you. You have to remind me every couple days.
I do. It's fine. Seth DMs me sometimes and he goes, "Hey, by the way, I think you're kind of being an awful person today." And so this is our friendship. It's okay.
Usually at 5 in the morning. Good morning. You're terrible. Call me the hubris smasher.
Seth is my almost moral compass.
And I'm your Jiminy
Seth
Cricket.
Is your immoral compass.
All right. No, I mean, I don't disagree, though. Like, I think Go itself is, like, doing some crazy stuff. And I think they're worried because they don't have that many Pokemon left to add. I think what will be Go's last hurrah is probably going to be at some point they might release a generation of Pokemon at the same time as a new game comes out.
That'll be so cool. Like, for
worries me. That worries me a little bit.
Like you can't find the freaking Bagon because it's in one spot in Gen 3, but you can find it in the park. And that's how you can get it. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be so cool.
No, that would be the worst, because what happens is then Go goes defunct, and then you're replaying that later, and you're like, there was another way.
Yep.
Meh.
So my worry is, and I don't think, looking at the player base of Go and how it shrunk in the past few years, like looking at the contraction, I don't think they really will lean into Go as heavily as they did, as they have been. I think Let's Go was an experiment to see how well they could make that work.
And I don't think it.
I don't hear
think
you.
Let's Go wasn't a success.
I hear you, but as far as like Go itself, this was his. For reasons, this was one of its most lucrative years.
Oh no, no, it was one of their most lucrative years. I do agree with that. I hate the idea that Pokemon will try to cater to the whales though, and not try to cater to everybody else.
I hear you. Yeah,
that's my concern.
Yeah, I think they're getting that balance. It's about finding the balance.
They're working on finding that balance, and I think the past 5 years has been very Pokemon Go heavy. Maybe not the past 5 years. I'd say everything after Sun and Moon was very Pokemon Go oriented. Like, even like it felt like they were just like, hey, Pokemon Go, everybody should like it. And
I mean, like, even Dynamax as a whole, like, really.
Yeah, I just feel like that's when really they're focused. Like, Let's Go is a very obvious answer for that. But I even think Sword and Shield, to an extent, they were just like, yeah, go. Go.
It's the hybrid. Sword and Shield was the hybrid experiment between typical Pokemon and Go.
I kind of. I don't entirely agree.
The whole gimmick is raids, and
I agree raids. Kind of I don't. I think the way raids are handled in Sword and Shield is far better than raids in
right,
Go.
Just yeah.
I wouldn't even say base raids are like fantastic in Sword and Shield though either. I think Dynamax Adventures are far better.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamax Adventures forever for life.
But I think they also know that now, like having done them.
Oh, they absolutely know it. They absolutely know. I absolutely agree with that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm very excited to see what 2021 has to in store for us for that. But do we want to give either of these gentlemen a Green Tauros badge?
I want to make Mark work for it more, so no.
You want to make Mark work for it?
It's already a 2,000 character summary. Give it to the poor man.
Do we want to give it to Krabby Snail then? Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah, Krabby Snail, you get the Green Tauros badge. If you ask us for it. All right. So on that note, if you want to email us next week, let us know what you think of Pokemon Go going to level 50 and beyond.
Among other things.
Among other things.
To level 50 and beyond.
Yep. Yep. And let us know what you think. We'd love to see what your thoughts are. And of course, you can always send us an email at PucklePodcast@gmail.com responding to that. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, the number one way to do so is by going to Discord and hanging out. That's where you'll get into the advent calendar and stuff like that. You're also going to be able to go to, you can go follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. We can also go ahead and, appreciate that. But we can, I'm losing my train of thought today. We can go ahead and go to youtube.com/fucklepodcast, watch P-Mickey and Cloud9, go over to go in battle videos. You can go over to twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and watch us play a variety of games, including the Puckle Showdown, which is very exciting, and we should plan the second one at some point. That was very fun and a good time. And Cloud9 and P-Mickey are no longer allowed to be on the same team.
Not at all.
Ever.
No.
Ever. Like, it's never allowed. It's never allowed. Ever again. all right. And then, of course, we can, of course, if you want to help support the show, you could do so in a number of ways. One, you can go over to, Twitch, drop a Twitch Prime subscription. You can go to TeePublic, buy a t-shirt or a tapestry or whatnot. Throw pillows are very exciting. You can buy a throw pillow. And you can, of course, go over to, Patreon at patreon.com/pucklepodcast. Until the end of the month, if you sign up at the $15 tier, you get that coupon for a free set of badges, Fall League badges. And personally, I really like the Fall League badges. I think together they look really cool. I'm a big fan. You also get a Puckle pin. Seth, you got them. Do you think they look pretty?
I did. I think they're awesome.
Yeah, I thought so. They look pretty. The Puckle pins actually came out really nice too. I was really surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Seth Vilo.
And I've been Lydia.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
It's closing time in Lavender Town. Time to say our goodbye. Farewell, my friends, I'll catch you on the flip side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.